Hello and welcome to this segment of Open House here at Community Media of South Central PA. I'm your host, Raymond Galker, and this is a show that we bring amazing people from our community in to share how they're making a difference in our county and in the world. And we have neighbors here from Adams County who has taken their ministry from Adams County and has carried it forward to the bush in Africa and to the villages of India and Pakistan. So yet their hearts remain here in Adams County. They represent us all over the world. And they have their own ministry that they started. It's called Eyes to See Ministry International. And I would like to introduce you to Pete Yanata and his wife, Sherry. Welcome to Community Media.
Well, thank you, Ray. We appreciate you having us here. Mm-hmm.
So Pete and I go back several years. We met each other at Freedom Valley, I believe.
Yes.
And at that point, Pete, that was 2016-ish.
16.
And I knew you had a heart for the Lord at that time. A very, very strong heart. I mean, it was important to you. Your relationship has always been important to you. And I was looking on my phone a little bit before this cold weather hit, and for some reason, I had to say hello to you. And now here you are. So share with us how you've been used.
Well, before I do that, this is a good opportunity to talk about what you just said, because I was praying that morning. I just got done reading my daily devotional, and the message was on, have you ever felt like you ran up against a brick wall on God's calling? And I was trying to figure out how to do what we're going to do here today. And I read the message, I prayed, and I cried out to the Lord, and about 2 hours later, you called me.
Mm-hmm. And you can call that coincidence.
He does that all the time.
Right? Yeah. It happens all the time.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, the nice thing is when that happens, and I do believe it happens, that, you know, we have a purpose,
yes.
You know, and which is somewhat the beauty of life is to find the talents that you were born with and your purpose. And then to take that and grow it to its full potential. And I don't think that's possible to do by yourself.
No.
I think in order to grow, you need others. So, but when people say things like you have, where, hey, I was growing and boom, here you are in my life and you're helping me go to a next level of service. Great, that's nice, that's fun. I love being used by the Lord, you know? So what's Eyes to See? Is that what it's called?
Eyes to See Ministries International.
Is this a new organization or?
It's
relatively.
It was the idea came in 2023. Sherry can give you that testimony.
I was in Uganda and I was visiting a rather large orphanage that's run by a doctor, bishop, Wandera Paul there. And after meeting with him, I was out in the fields with his goats. It's great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I had mentioned to him, I said, the children don't have any glasses. You know, the children needs to have glasses. I had glasses all my life. And so I was talking to the Lord, and he said, I want you to start a ministry, and I want you to call it Eyes to See. And I'm like, wow, that's perfect. You know, I said, we'll surprise, you know, glasses for all these children. You know, whenever we come across, we just bring suitcases full of glasses. And he just said, no, it's going to be much bigger than that. And so I didn't know what he had planned at that time. Have I met you yet?
Yes, we were.
Yeah, okay. We were both doing missions, but we were going to different parts of Africa at that time. So we're now going to the same places too, but carrying forward, you know, once I got back and we set this up, you know, we started going more frequently into different areas.
So it's exactly what it says, eyes to see, mm-hmm. giving glasses.
It grew, like the Lord said, it was going to be much greater than that. It is, the eyes to see is to, you know, we're a parachurch. And we come alongside other churches to help teach them where they're lacking in areas. But it's that, you know, to give them eyes to see Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, and the truth of the gospel. Pete.
But when Sherry got back from Uganda, I was coming back from Zambia, and she was telling me about this, and we knew we were both called to be in the ministry. We already were.
Yes.
And she's telling me about glasses, and it was so far removed from anything that I was thinking. And I said, Lord, if this is of you, you need to show me in scripture what confirm this. And that day he took me to Ephesians chapter 2, which is Paul's prayer for the church. And it says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord and the love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, in the knowledge of God, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So that was the scripture. And I travel to Africa and India, and beyond anything I ever thought of I'd be doing, I'm actually teaching pastors. I do conferences. There's 32 churches in Africa in 8 countries, and 30 pastors in India. There's another 12 in Pakistan. I never thought God would be having me do that, but it had to do with what you said, that fire that I had for the Lord, and so that's what I do. I go teach and preach, and as I do this, I believe this is the truth, and the Bible says, blessed are the feet that carry the gospel, and the Lord says he will confirm the preaching following with signs, wonders, and miracles. So every service, and this could be in 2023 in March, was traveled 1,900 miles in a van in Africa and preached at 12 churches in 12 days. And God brought his church to true repentance. That was the understanding that we all need. And then I just saw so many miracles, it was unbelievable. So I'd go back at night and just weep like a baby. And I would hear him say, this is nothing for me, Peter. You just keep pressing into me and I'll show you all that you need to do, because he's the one doing it.
Yes. So this revelation, this being in God's presence, when did that happen? I mean, it happens often to you because
daily
you reach out.
Yes.
You open yourself up for it. But what you just spoke about, when did that happen?
It began in 2015. We had just finished a community evangelist crusade called Hope for the City. And I wound up being asked to be the lead of that. And had nothing to do with teaching or preaching. I organized events. So God used me there. But after that event, I was in prayer and I heard the voice of God say, Africa. And I didn't know what that meant. I didn't get anything else. I went to the missionary pastor at Freedom Valley Church, Pastor Lance Stoddard, who was mentoring me and discipling me at the time. And I said, Lance, I need to go to Africa. And it happened to be that he was going to go in November to organize a group of pastors for a crusade there. And he was a retired special forces guy, so I said to him, I need to go on the reconnaissance mission, not the crusade.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was there, Lance's wife, Melanie, is a dentist, and the pastor of the ministry, Glory of Christ Ministries International, which is based out of Zambia, David Chuma, Pastor Chuma's wife, is a doctor. And Melanie wanted to have a medical tent at the crusade. So for the first week that we were there, Esther Chuma and Melanie Stoddart were together. And that connected me with David because he would drive her. And after the second week we were there, Mission SOS, Johannes Amritzer, came. He was going to be the evangelist at the crusade, and he had all of us come to dinner. Pastor Chuma asked me if I would preach at his church, and I agreed to. I said, I teach and never preached before, and I agreed, and it's not uncommon for me to wake up out of a dead sleep, but sometime between 1 and 3 a.m., And I get what are called divine downloads. And I'll just fill up pages of the Lord speaking to me. So I went back to my room and I asked David, I said, Pastor Chuma, when I speak, I'm not going to do it in an animated way like I've seen a lot of the pastors here at the events we've been at. And I felt like I was being... like three times I gave him an opportunity to retract the invitation. and he said to me, Peter, I just want you to get up and speak to them. So I had gone back to my room and I took my Bible out and I thought, I need a message. And then I said this, I said, Lord, you sent me here. I'm going to go to sleep. You'll wake me up at 1 and tell me what you want me to speak. And that happened. I woke up out of a dead sleep at 1 a.m. and I said the same things that I said to Pastor Chuma. And I heard the Lord quote him. He said, Peter, I just want you to get up and speak to them.
You were saying, hey, if you want to, you could take this away from me.
Yes.
You don't have to have me get up here and speak. I'm giving you another chance. And the Lord said,
No,
just get up here and speak. Be you.
So he gave me the message. There was one church of 40 people. And when I started to speak, people were running around. It was under a tent grabbing pens and papers. And I'm watching them write down. And then I realized when I had left later, Pastor Lance asked me what I spoke about. And he said, they need discipleship. You heard right from the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's what our part is here out of the body of Christ.
Now, this was occurring in 2015?
Yes.
And this was your first trip to Africa?
Yes.
Yeah. To do that on a first trip is amazing. I don't know if I'd have the courage to do that.
I would get in the car. That one of the pastors had a driver as a guide assigned to us, because Pastor Lance would get a map, he gridded out the city, and he was showing me how to separate it into components and where we could have different groups with music to tell everybody about this. And I'm in the back seat, and the driver says, I'm not going to be at the church this Sunday. I've got to go to my grandmother's village. And I said, what village is she? And this young man says, the Goni people. And I said, I know your people. I studied their history because I loved African history.
Okay.
And that just took off from there.
So as a young man, you studied African history?
Yes.
Cool.
I was enamored by the old Tarzan movies of the 50s. I was telling this young man, I have figurines of Tarzan and your people. Uh-huh. And I was able to tell him about their warrior history and everything. And that enamored him that somebody from America knew about them. So it was just another confirmation that I heard right from God.
So, you know, I'm just beginning to interact with you 2015-ish, 16. You're talking about going to Africa. You're talking about your experiences going to Africa. I'm saying, okay, you know, you're going to Africa. You're explaining this, what you just got done explaining, going to Africa and then everything unfolding. And then all of a sudden I have a conversation with you and you're going back to Africa. Well, so after this, you would go back to Africa on a regular basis.
Yes, after that Sunday, which was the last day I was there, David Chuma asked me when my flight left. And he said, brother, I would like if you would come back to my house with me. I'll bring you to the airport. He said, I really need to talk to you. And we spent 7 hours together at his house. He was asking me what I did and things. And he said, I need you to come back and teach us. And I said, well, I can do that. I said, how big of a group do you want me to speak at, the congregation? And he said, you don't understand. I want to have you come back and teach us pastors. And I said, okay. I said, so what, I'm thinking of a conference here. You know, do you want me to be the one that starts the conference and, you know, close it? And he said, I don't understand. And I said, well, how many days is it? And he said, 4. And I said, well, how many hours a day is the conference? I'm going by process of elimination. And he said, 6. And I said, so what day and how many hours do you want me to speak? And he said, you're the only speaker.
You're it. And that would have been your second
trip.
You know, did you have an educational background of some sorts in religion?
No. In fact, I was unsaved until I was 57, which was not long before you met me. I had a radical encounter over at the outlets one day. I was lost in addictions, literally spent 10 years of my life as the prodigal son in the Bible. And I got to the point where I left my place one day and I went driving around and I thought, I need to find somewhere if God's real. And I wound up over there and I went down into the woods. It was pouring rain, lightning, thunder, and I'm standing ankle deep in water. And without being churched or ever reading the Bible, I didn't know how to pray. And I knew it was the first time I felt the manifested glory of God. It was so strong, I fell on my knees, and I didn't see physically, but I knew Jesus was there, because I said, if you're real, I need to know. And he delivered me. I mean, there was some miraculous things that happened that week. And I said to him in the woods, I said, if you do these things, I'll commit my life to you. And
what happened was
he did. And it was so far-reaching what he did that there's, first of all, nobody could ever convince me that he's not real, because I've felt him and I hear his voice. And so that was never going to be an issue. And the deliverance was so, it had to touch so many parts of my life that it just blew me away. But I said to him, I'll go to a church, and I actually gave this confession when I was in the woods. You need to send me somewhere where somebody can teach me, because I already know I'm a filthy sinner. And that's how I wound up with Lance and Jerry at Freedom Valley Church. Mm-hmm. That was where I wound up one Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a miracle in itself on how that whole day played out. But so I asked the lead, I introduced myself to Jerry, asked him if I could meet with him. When I went up in his office I think it was 3 weeks later, he was going on sabbatical. And I was such on fire for God and never felt the things that I was feeling, that when I was in his office, I started to use biblical terms and I hadn't opened the Bible yet. And I said to him, I said, it's like I believe the tip of the iceberg. I feel so good. And I said, Jerry, I think that what can happen is I can go deep as I want. It's going to be up to me, or any of us individually.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to me, I'm sorry, what did you say your name was?
Who are you now? Right.
And it just came over me. I was trying to, he said, what do you do for a living? And I started talking to him, and I stood up, and I hit my fist on his desk, and I went, it's like good news. And he said to me, you know, I've been having a vision about having a crusade in Adams County, and he said, I can't do it. It would bog down with me. I'm too busy. And he said, would you do that? And I said, what's a crusade? And he said, it's when we invite the whole community together in one place to tell them about that good news you just said. And I said, I'll do it, man.
Yeah. And did you?
Yes. Yeah. 3 weeks into my
calling
an experience, I wound up having to organize and do that, and I had the job skills, but that's what the Lord did. And in hindsight, all of my education and all of my work experience was all led by the Lord, that brought me to what I would learn later was a pastoral calling. Mm-hmm. Internationally, and that just humbled me to my knees, because I thought, God, you had your hand on me since the day I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just the beginning. So, you know, sometimes people say, well, how come somebody comes out of the chute like that? I could say that happened in the church, but it's not really true, because I was being led by the Lord for 56 years before I ever knew who he was.
Mm-hmm. He was preparing you.
He did, yes.
So, is it all just about having a relationship?
Yes.
that simple.
Absolutely.
Jesus said in John 17, and this is eternal life, that they know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. That scripture alone tells you we need to be in a relationship.
And it doesn't mean you have to study anything. It doesn't mean that you have to know something. It just means that you can sit there and be still and just let his presence be known.
That we have to do. But what we're called to do, we see in the book of Genesis. And God said, let us make man, meaning mankind, in our image after our likeness. So that day that I said I'm a filthy sinner, once I acknowledged that I would let Jesus be the Lord of my life, and his Spirit came to me, into me, what you hear some people say, a true conversion, you're going to start feeling and hearing things. So he's there now. I didn't know anything about this book, but I learned this is the word. It's the truth. And I would see scriptures. Like I'd ask the Lord, how do I pray? And then he would lead me to a scripture that told me. So every day when I get up, I start out in prayer. I'm going to do a daily devotional, and I'll read this. But before I start to read this book, one of the prayers that Paul prayed, now to me, he's an example. He was an apostle. I'm a Gentile. I'm not Jewish. So I would have been, if I lived in the first century, I would be somebody that he would have come into that city if I was in that part of Asia Minor. And he prayed for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God for the church. So if you want to pray for the church, the body of Christ, and you don't know what to pray, that is God's greatest will, his desire for all of his people. And God cannot lie. The Bible says so. Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit's our guide. He's the Spirit of truth. That's impossible for God to not answer that prayer.
And that prayer again is?
That the eyes, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. That the eyes of your understanding would be open to what? The knowledge of him.
The word.
The word of God.
Now we got back to eyes again, you know. And Sherry, you're sitting over there. And Pete, I can go on and on with you. But, maybe you can come back and we could talk more about your development. I mean, we have the thing. I mean, how it started, and we have it started the same way you're asking us. You reached out to have this relationship. You reached out. You accepted. He's there. Like you said, he's always there. You just got to stop and recognize it. Pray for it. Ask for it. Sherry, what was going on with you back in 2015, 16, when all this is occurring with Pete in the woods, with water up to his knees in the rain, and right now you're at the outlets, right?
Yes.
You're in outlets, you're down in the woods, you're having one of your first true experiences with the presence of the Lord. 2015, 16. What's going on with you, Sherry?
Pete and I hadn't met yet. So this month we'll be married 7 years. But during that time, I had been set apart by the Lord. He told me I was going to be alone many years before that. And I thought it was for life, which is, I was okay with that because my heart was only after the Lord, you know. I didn't realize that he had set me apart for him. And everywhere I tried to go and every thing I tried to do where I would leave the area, he shut everything down. So he kept me local. I became involved with taking classes at Global Awakening School in Mechanicsburg. And from there, I started doing mission trips into, Brazil and other areas and ministering there. And so I was just furthering my education. Actually, I'm still in school. It's a different one. Was kind of like a part of that Global Awakening School was to give us, hands-on ministry, praying for the sick, praying for inner healing, praying for deliverance and different things. And there are times we went to Brazil, and when we came back, there would be a group of 50 or 75 of us, and we would see over 3,000 healings, over the course of 10 days ministering people in different churches throughout Brazil.
And this is what time period?
This was 2015 through 2000 and probably 19. I had a very bad fall down some stairs in Lancaster at the Lancaster Convention Center. I went face first down those marble stairs, and it took me out. I wound up having to come out of school for several years while I sought my healing. The Lord. After several years of having to stand back, and then I retired from my job, the Lord sent me back to Global Awakening, and with the knowledge that He told me He would start healing me as I was going through the school there. And so over the course of the next several years, I started experiencing healings. I met my husband, and we got married. And I might have a few things backwards,
but
that's okay.
But you're going to Brazil.
Yes.
And that's part of your schooling.
Well, it was part of once. It wasn't a part of my schooling. That was elective, but because I was going through his school and I'd had some of his training through there in the school, I was allowed to travel with him.
Okay.
And other people that would minister with him in Brazil and in the churches.
So you would go on ministries. You'd go on mission trips.
On
mission trips to Brazil on a number of occasions.
Yes, I've been there four times.
Four times.
Yes, normally I would take a two-week trip each time. He does have shorter trips, but
who's he?
Randy Clark. Okay. Randy Clark at Global Awakening. He actually has different schools. He's got a theological seminary, but the Global Awakening a School of Supernatural Ministry is what GSSM is, training, practical training in ministry, where it's a lot of hands-on and mm-hmm. and things of that nature. So it was quite an experience. It very powerful to watch God move so powerfully under this man. Every time I would go, it's very humbling to see people get out of wheelchairs, people that are blind get their sight, people that are deaf get their hearing, people that have, that are contorted and twisted and see their limbs come out, little boys shorter come straight out, with a prayer, and it just changed his whole life.
Well, these are all unbelievable things that you're saying.
Oh, but the thing is that in it's supposed to be the norm. That's supposed to be the norm, not the not the outlying thing that takes place,
Mm-hmm.
I had someone exclaim, they were so excited. Sherry, I saw a bona fide miracle. I said, wow, how many? It's like, that's supposed to be the norm. I mean, Mark 16, 15, 16, 17, 18, that's Mark 16, 17, 18, says, these are the signs that will follow those who believe that in my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents, they'll drink anything deadly and it won't harm them, and they will lay their hands on the sick and they'll recover. And that is part of the mission. I mean, you know, when somebody gets out of a wheelchair, that is a, that, you know, that's a clarion call to give your life to Christ, because you know that there's a real true God that is all powerful, that has just healed you. And so, you know, in the street ministry that I would do, that was always, you know, that was what I called the low-hanging fruit. When you see somebody that is on crutches, or, you know, you see that they've really physically need prayer, and they get, you ask if I could pray for you. It's just like a lot of times when I pray for somebody, they get healed, and they let you, and they get healed. I mean, immediately, the people are willing to give their life to Christ after experiencing something like that.
So you have a relationship with the Lord.
Of course.
When did that, has that always been? Were you born with parents who had a relationship and then
unfortunately
shared it with you?
No, actually I was, I had a terminal disease that they had no cure for. And when I got diagnosed, I probably had the biggest pity party that you've ever, if you were there, you could ever seen, and I just fell apart, and I was crying for 3 days. My face was swollen. I went to a liquor store and I bought myself several bottles of wine and I got myself drunk. You know, just like it says in the Bible. You know, let's eat, drink, be merry, because tomorrow, you know, it's like. And I just did it, you know, in the third day of that, I woke up. And I got into this crying jag. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with a jag where you just, and you can't breathe, you can't catch your breath, and it's just one of those things that you can't control, you can't get control of it. And I was laying down, and all of a sudden, it was like there was an explosion in my room, and a booming voice just said, "Get up." And it was like there was something that grabbed me by my shirt and just threw me up and straight up in the bed. All that stopped just like that, and the peace of God came over me. You know, that voice, it was like it came out of the walls, through the ceiling, through the floor. It went in me, it went through me, it went out of me. I don't even know how to explain everything that I felt in that moment. But the peace of God, it's inexplicable, other than the fact that God just changed everything just like that in a moment. And he said, "You're going to be okay." I didn't know how I was going to be okay, but I knew that I was going to be okay. And the funny thing is that so I knew at that moment God was real, but I didn't know anything else. I didn't know I was supposed to read the Bible. I didn't know I was supposed to go to church. I didn't. So finally God sent a pastor to me, and she was the one that prayed for my healing, and I got healed, and they brought me into the church, and I got saved.
How old are you at this point?
Do I have to give that away?
Oh, yeah.
Let me see. Let me count backwards. I was 49. This was like 2000.
And you, so like Pete, so, the Lord has been preparing you.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind. The things that happened throughout my life and the different things, you know, there was quite a bit of trauma. But the Lord has, you know, he said, "Sherry, I am going to take those traumas that happened to you and wield that experience like a weapon against the enemy to bring people who've had life sufferings, like sufferings, to you to be healed. You know, it's like, you know, like an alcoholic, an ex-alcoholic that can minister to somebody who's an alcoholic.
Because they've had the same experience.
Yes. So I understand the trauma, you know, the breaking, where the healing is going to come from. I get it. And so people, if they know that you've been there, they're more likely to share and allow that shame and everything that they're holding to come out and share their pain and their suffering.
What year is this?
That was 2000. I think the year that that happened was 2004.
2004. Okay. Earlier than you, Pete.
Yes.
Yours was 2015, 14?
14.
14? Cool. And Sherry, then, at that point, you found a church.
Yes.
And then you found out about, you were led to the Global, what was the name?
Global Awakening. No, that was a while because... like about 4 months after I got baptized, the Department of Defense sent me to Canada. You know, I was working as I was a contracting officer for them, and we had contracts up in Canada that during Desert Storm in those times, was it Desert Storm? Anyway, the early ones after, you know, when Bush was in office. And so I got kind of like displanted into Canada. I did make some friends and I got into a church up there, but it wasn't until I came back and that I started really seeking things like inner healing and deliverance and things of that nature to deal with, you know, past traumas and whatnot. And that led me to Global Awakening. It was a God thing, mm-hmm. You know, so because they deal in that a lot.
So is there a time where, I know Pete, Pete's wonderful, isn't he?
Yes, he's my husband.
Yeah, you got lucky.
He did get lucky.
Both of you are a team. What an awesome team. And I know we got to get to the eyes to see, but this foundation, is incredible. So you're starting to do missionary trips around
2015 was
15.
My first.
Okay. And we all want to know 2015, 2016, you're developing your relationship in Africa. At some point it goes on to India, Pakistan. You're in Uganda.
I'm in Brazil.
You're in Brazil.
I'm in Brazil.
And is that where did you bounce into each other?
I was...
here in Gettysburg.
Yeah, here in Gettysburg. I was from... I lived in Maryland, and I was working for the Department of Defense out of Baltimore. But I was traveling up to Gettysburg once in a while to a church where I knew a pastor up here, and he happened to be there.
Cool.
And that's how we met.
And nice to see ministries not long after.
Yes.
So it didn't. You guys met. You found out that you had the same type of heart, the same passion, and God comes to you. It wasn't that easy, was it?
Yeah. Actually, it was a God thing. Mm-hmm. He told me that he had. He said that's your husband.
That's your husband. So. Good. And you listened.
And I was shocked. Yeah, I really was because, that went against what he told me before.
Right.
He said, you're going to be alone. And so when he dropped that bomb on me, it was quite a...
So when was the first time you guys did a missionary trip together?
It was March of 2023. Sherry was in Uganda, and I was... in Zambia, scheduled to go to Zambia, and then she got permission from her group when they were done to fly to Zambia. She met me there, and that was the second leg of what I was doing in Zambia. So we went to, in 12 days, we traveled to 9 churches in the bush, and I was preaching at the time, and Sherry was getting prophetic words, and then we would minister to the people. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it says they're as the Spirit wills, but we are to desire those gifts. So both of us believe in this book. We know what we're called to do. We don't know how that looks. But we believe wholeheartedly that if we ask, we'll get that. And that's what happens. You know, when we're speaking, if I would get up to preach, I'm always going to do an altar call, because I know that God's word says he'll confirm following with signs, wonders, and miracles. And if I don't give the people an opportunity for God to minister to them, I don't want that hanging on my head. And he will never let that go. So there's a church here in Gettysburg that when they do healing service every 6 months, they'll have Sherry and I come and be part of that.
And which church is that?
It's Bethel Assembly of God in Littlestown.
Okay. And if someone wanted to know when that would be, they can get online and go to Bethel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Bethel Assembly of God in Littlestown. And then on their website, you'd have all the information you need. If, in mm-hmm. fact, you feel called to. This is sort of an unusual open house segment. We bring great people and it's doing good things for our community. And that's not the unusual part of it, because the amazing thing is that you are our neighbors who are going out in the world and doing great things. And if we weren't called to do that, as you are, we may be called to help and support you in prayer. How can someone get in touch with both of you if they wanted to reach out and give you time, treasures, or talents?
They could either go on the website, or we could give you our phone numbers and that could go out. I mean, we're personal relationships are the thing.
That's what it's all about, right?
That's personal relationship. And that's why we're here.
So you have a website.
Yes.
Eyes to See International.
Ministries.org.
Eyes to See International Ministries.
No, Eyes to See Ministries.
Okay, international.
.org.
Okay, Eyes to See Ministries.
And that's our logo.
.org. There you go. Okay, so if you feel the passion in your heart, we talk about what makes a great community here at Community Media. And It's finding the passion in your heart and finding what talents that you have, even though you've brought up to us that we could actually pray for those talents. And then finding some way to connect with other people in the community that has the same passion. So if mine's theater, instead of sitting at home, I find a theater group, and I start giving to the community and growing my potential. So if you find that this story of Pete and Cherry's and the fact of building a relationship with God is on you, then they could reach out to your website and or go to Bethel. Find out when you guys will be there every 6 months, you said, and come up to you and say hello.
So in Ephesians it says Christ gave gifts to the church, and pastor is one of them. I'm an ordained minister. The purpose for those gifts is to edify and teach the body of Christ, which is what we do, and for the work of the ministry, because we're all called to go out. So locally here, we've been assisting with a church, First Baptist Church of Gettysburg, Pastor Carl Harris. They've asked us to be on two of their prayer ministry teams, and we help with their children's church. I'll be speaking the third Thursday of February at the Adams Rescue Mission. So we are international, and yet, because of what you said earlier, that we're based here, there are things that we would... There's a lot more we'd like to do here, but frankly, those doors haven't opened yet for a whole bunch of reasons. A lot of churches, if you're not an official member on their church roster, they're not going to have you come in and speak, or they're turn a deaf ear to that. And yet, you know, we're official members of the body of Christ, His church. And there is, you need discernment. If I was pastoring a church, I would be very guarded, because I'm called to guard the Word of God. Who do I let behind that pulpit? Which is exactly why our community needs to be in relationship. That's how I met Pastor Carl. That's how I met Pastor Gary Schaefer. So those relationships spread out in our community. We meet more people, and we're all interacting as a community for the community.
Making connections.
Yes, connections.
A connected community is a great community. It helps you grow, and that's spiritually. Spiritually, I think, embraces everything that you do. But it's like, you know, with your hobbies, you know, if your hobby's music, if it's sports, find a community.
Yes.
A community. I bet we've been talking for a long time, even though it hasn't seemed like that. And I hope you hung on every word, and there's so much I could ask, so much I'd like you to share, but before we go to the end, can you talk about As the Sea again?
It's Eyes to See Ministries is to teach not just the body of Christ, anybody that's curious, who is Jesus Christ? That's basically what it is. That's what I'm called to do. When I first taught behind a recording studio, it was a midweek service, and for a year and a half, nobody came. And I was asked, why do you do that? And I said, because God told me to do that. But by doing that, and those going out over the internet, I got connected to India, I got connected to Pakistan, other places in Africa. But I asked, what am I supposed to speak on? And I heard the Lord say, you need to tell people who I am. Even my church doesn't know who I am. I need you to do that. Will you do that? And I said, yes. And then doors opened. He asked, I agreed, and then it took off. And that's really what we are.
And overseas, there's so many places where people don't have a church. They're so remote that there's places where we've traveled 8-9 hours to get to this place, and it's so far removed from any civilization, yet people, when they hear that, you know, preachers from the United States are coming, they will walk all day to get to where we are. And then, you know, they'll have an encounter with the Lord while we're there. And this is what the Lord is sending us to do. That's why we were in 12 churches in 12 days, but we spent darn near 12 hours in a car to get to the church each and every day. You know, they, it wasn't like we you know, got in a car and drove for a half hour. No, they were all day trips to get to
18 hours.
You know, to get, and it's out in the bush. And I'm not talking about being on highways. We're talking on roads that aren't even there.
So you go off road, and sometimes walk 3 hours, and there's the village that you were told was there. And we're talking about you're literally back in the first century. 150 people, men, women, and children, they hear the gospel. The entire village makes the decision. And now there's a pastor that lives in that village called the village pastor. They have a church there now. So our calling is, part of it is because we're not going to tell God no, we get sent to some places where no one else will go. and it's for different reasons, but that's what Sherry was talking about. And yeah. You know, my passion as a child was I always wanted to do something where I could make a dent in the world, have a positive impact on the world. And I get to do that now through Christ. Yeah. He does it through me. There's a better way to say that, but...
Yes, we both got the same message from the Lord, even though we didn't know each other. Because He spoke to both of us individually many years ago. He said, I'm going to be sending you places, you know, that aren't really very safe either, that nobody else will go, because we'll go.
Yes, and our, you know? Right now, the hardest place for this ministry to work,
it's harder here than anywhere.
They won't. It's not open to it. It really isn't. You have 135 or so churches in Adams County, and I would love to see. I'd love to see the body of Christ be able to come together and do something together, a community event.
Yeah.
You know. So we're international, we're minister, but you know, America's international.
Yes, it is.
Adams County's international.
Mm-hmm.
There was a season where it was when I used to see ministries, when we Lord spoke into our hearts, it's now's the time to start it. And so we had a name, and because it's a parachurch, and by definition, that means that we can come, para means come alongside. There's so many things that this ministry could do locally with the churches. The Adams Correctional Facility, that's a parachurch, the chaplain. The community embraces that, but I think there's a fear that we would come into a church wanting to start our own church and steal people. And unfortunately, some bad things have happened. Not just here, but you read Jesus' accounts and Paul's, they've been around forever. So people have heard those testimonials. I like to say, a lot of times when you're speaking to somebody about these, they actually will look at you like a deer in headlights, because they don't, it's like, how can that happen? You know, that happens in this book, but how can it happen for real? And it is real. So this ministry, Eyes to See Ministries, is not a, it's not a church for you to come to church. Our calling is to go to your church, your business, your organization, and speak. That's what we do. It will always be Christ-based, and if it was inside of an existing church, our community, the community at large, America at large, would have a trepidation about being involved in it. So it has to be its own entity, you know? Apostle Paul started churches, but he went from church to church. And that's what we're called to do, is to assist the body of Christ in what we do. So we can do healing ministries, we could preach, we could teach, that's what Ephesians 4 is, to lift up the body of Christ. What is your, you know, whether you're the little toe or the thumb, is to get involved in the community. And there's almost nothing that this ministry can't do to help people. You know, if somebody was going to be out on sabbatical, an associate pastor, you know, we could come in and help with the workload, however that looks, is led by the Lord. And but unfortunately, I'm experiencing what I heard the voice of God say back 4 years ago when he said, I'm sending you into rocky ground.
The battlefield.
That's it. The mm-hmm. battleground, the rocky ground, is within his own church, and it's a lot of times how we have man-made bylaws, man-made constitutions. We're going to go by this. So mm-hmm. I'm going to follow Paul's lead. I'm called to preach and teach the whole counsel of God, so that no man's blood is on my hands, as he told the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 22. And that burden's there.
But, you know, you have the burden. You may always have a burden. Because I don't think you could be satisfied. There's always going to be someone there, always going to be someone somewhere for you, Pete,
yes,
to reach out to, and that's great. But the nice thing is, there are places that you are able to commune with. The Bethel Church is one. You said
First Baptist Church.
You know, and I'm sure you do your best there, and more doors will open. And by asking for it, I'm glad that you put that out there for everyone, that you're there for.
We're there to wash the feet of the saints.
For anyone that has the need.
Yes.
Yes. And you know how to contact, again, on the website, Eyes to See. You know, thanks a lot for coming in. It was nice meeting you, Sherry.
Thank you for having us.
Pete, it was nice to catch up with you and seeing how you grown. Sherry, we're going to end up. Is there something that you would like to say to everybody before we leave?
God loves you. He loves you. You know, it's his heart that he wants everybody to be made whole, mind, body, spirit, soul, and that wholeness is available. It's available to all of us, and I, you know, it's just a matter of stepping out in faith and asking for it, or seeking it and receiving it. You know, just like the woman, you know, with the issue of blood. I mean, she got what she wanted because she said, all I have to do is touch the hem of Jesus and I will get my healing. And, you know, it's just a matter of what you believe. What you believe is a very powerful place. It's what faith is made of. And so, you know, for those that are, you know, that they're, we all need a Savior, and Jesus is our Savior. We just want to make sure that people have that information. That you know, you don't know what you don't know. So we're here to preach Jesus.
To help people ask and get expectations of seeing. Pete, is there something that you would like to say here in closing?
Well, just that, you know, we have. We've sent people to churches. I mean, as we become in the relationships, like you said, and we know what different churches do, based on listening to people and their needs, We forwarded people to churches, and it doesn't matter what I do in the body of Christ, but if I go help the First Baptist Church, if Pastor Carl asks me to do something there, he's the authority there, and I come under his authority. And that's important for the community to know, because with the burden and the love for God's people, my desire is not to come into a church and become one of those people. The Bible says there'll be those that rise up among you seeking disciples after themselves. My job is to help and cherish the different churches grow into the fullness that what, and with the testimonies that we have to help them in, and I don't like to say in their belief, because that usually offends people. They'll say, well, I do believe.
In their relationship.
Yes.
Mm. It's about their relationship.
Even teaching on people how to hear the voice of God for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple.
Mm-hmm. It's so simple. All you need to do is be still and know. I believe. Sherry, Pete, Yonata, correct?
Yonata.
Yonata. Thank you so much for what you're doing for the community, our community. Thank you so much for what you're doing for the global community. Eyes to See Ministries, right now, I bet you're imagining what it would be like to go to Africa, drive through Africa till the road ends, and then walk for another 20 miles or so until you got to a village. That is happening. And we're not asking you to do that. We're asking you to support that. And you could do it just in a prayer. Just in a prayer. You could just do it as a prayer. So consider that. And also, you have our contact information if you want to know more about this organization. Thank you for watching Open House here at Community Media. And until we have a chance to bring some awesome people, these are our neighbors doing awesome stuff throughout the world and here in Adams County. Until we have a chance to bring other people in as amazing as they are, stay healthy. And remember, you're priceless.